the question of this month is, am I going to make a commitment to operate in a genuine, authentic anointing oil, or am I not going to exercise my faith? This is a month of miracles, but it's also a month of faith, and faith being rewarded by the restoration of the relationship with God in heaven. Once you realize you spending time with the Word, praying and decreeing the Word, makes your life better, then you get addicted.
In this episode of the Kurt Landry Podcast, we're going to be breaking down the Hebrew month of Kislev. And Rabbi, we've done teaching, obviously, on this, on the podcast. Rabbi, we're actually getting pretty close to episode 100 coming up in less than a month. So super impressive. We appreciate everybody watching and listening and sending in your topics and your questions and your comments throughout almost all episodes, almost all of 100 episodes. But in this one, Rabbi, obviously you've done a ton of teaching on the Hebrew month of Kislev, and we wanted to dive a little bit deeper, obviously, Hebrew year 5786. So let's just start off real simple, as we usually do. What is this Hebrew month?
Well, this month is really known for unlocking miracles. And one of the reasons it's unlocking miracles is because this is the month of Hanukkah. And Hanukkah is a unique month of miracles. In short, the biggest miracle of Hanukkah is the fact that the Maccabeans, with Judah Maccabee leading his family and his troops, as they're going on to restore the temple, which had been defiled, is they have this great menorah. And when they get there, there's only one container of oil that is consecrated, which actually takes 8 days to consecrate the oil. And understanding that you're on the Temple Mount, you're in the temple, and you have the Kindred Valley, which you've been there, Daryl, is like, you know, the valley is there, goes down, and then there's the Mount of Olives just across the street, so to say. And and as you know, all those olive trees, probably 70% of them, actually were planted by Kurt Landry Ministries, my olive tree. So what I'm saying is, across the street is Gethsemane, where they actually produce olive oil. So that's the temptation. You have a menorah. The Lord is saying to them, you can either do it in man's way, go across the street, borrow some oil from your friends, and keep the menorah lit. Or you can light the menorah for the first day of eight with the only jug of oil that you have, and then trust me to refill the jug for 8 days. And that's what happened. The jug refilled supernaturally. And the question of this month is, am I going to make a commitment to operate in a genuine, authentic anointing oil or oil in my life? Or am I not going to exercise my faith? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go across the street and buy man-made, so to say, oil that's not been consecrated according to the law of Moses. So this is a month of miracles, but it's also a month of faith, and faith being rewarded by the restoration of the relationship with God on earth, the temple, and God in heaven.
Yeah, so tell me if I'm wrong here. I've been doing a lot of personal reading in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, but jumping into the book of James. And one thing that I've been talking with some buddies about, and I think it kind of relates, but you obviously kind of tell us direction here, is for me personally, Rabbi, I want to be the type of Christian, Christ follower that just doesn't have knowledge of the word of what to actually do and kind of how to live, right? But actually read the real tough stuff, right? Especially in James 1. And man, you're talking about marriage and like trying to improve your marriage. I mean, like read second half of 1 Corinthians, right? But to actually do and be obedient and change my habits and patterns, for the betterment of me to keep God first in everything, and then everything else is a byproduct. It kind of feels like the Hebrew month of that we're in is that some of the same thing, that like, hey, like we have got to really hyper focus in and keep God first in every single thing, but very specifically right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's the pain point is I really think a focus for your generation too, mine as well, but more with yours and the generations below, is there is a price for pain. I'm going to say it again. There's a price for pain. There was a commercial, I think it was like an oil. I don't really remember. It was before your time, but I think it was an oil company, and they were trying to sell motor oil, and they were trying to sell oil changes. And basically what their tagline was, you can either pay me now by changing the oil, or pay me later by not changing the oil and having to replace the whole motor, which obviously doing the oil change is the better choice. So kind of what you're saying about you and your buddies is you can either ignore the instruction of the Lord and ignore the benefits and the gifts of the habits and patterns, or you can pay later with serious issues like divorce, serious illnesses, bankruptcy, lawsuits, okay? And that's really about as blunt as I can say it, because you can avoid the pitfalls if you choose Matthew 6:33, which has been a life scripture for me my whole life. When I first went to church, my first church was Grace Church in Redmond, Washington, with Pastor Steve Gutzler. And they were, back then, they made banners out of like cloth, real pretty ornate things. And the first banner they made for this new up and coming church was Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all other things shall be added unto you. So that became a life scripture for me. So I knew, just in a practical sense, if I invested time, finances, and focus on my spiritual life and invested in myself, my Uncle Lou, who was my mentor when I was growing up, very successful businessman, he said this to me, and this is a profound word. Now, this is an unsaved, but this is my Uncle Lou. He said, if you won't invest in yourself, don't expect anybody else to invest in you. And I can tell you that's true for me. If I'm going to mentor and I'm going to invest in somebody at a very close level, if they're not willing to work at what I'm giving them, then I'll slowly back off and drop off because, listen, I'm actually harming them. Because if you know what to do and you don't do it, it has consequences. So when you really get valuable spiritual information that works, then you have to follow through with it. And so, but to me, I made a decision, you know, 30 some years ago, that I was going to be on a quest, and I can tell you it's never stopped. And I'm on a quest to seek first the kingdom. And one of the reasons I do that, I'll give you an example. I did a Shabbat service, and I held up all my notes for the fall feast. And I talked about the fatigue and the labor and the weariness that came from having to produce that much content, but not just to produce it, but to apply it onto my own life so I could deliver it to everybody out there with an anointing. If it's not imparted, then you can't impart to others. You have to first consume it, and then it flows through you to them. So I made a comment that my very favorite thing to do, I said, listen, I live on a lake, and I have a golf course across the street, and I don't play golf and I don't have a boat. So I did that as in concept of understanding. It's great that I'm blessed with this location, but my heart really is to, my favorite thing to do is to study the word. Now, this was in a Shabbat service, and I didn't know, wasn't thinking about it, that my grandkids were watching the Shabbat service at home. And the comment from the oldest one was very offended that Saba, his number one thing isn't to spend time with his grandchildren. and I heard about it. So here's my response to it. My response to it is this. I have to seek first the kingdom of God and love the studying, which I do naturally. I'm a Berean. I love to study the word. And it's actually fun for me. One of the reasons it's fun, it's like a drug in a sense. And listen, I come from a past of drug use, and I understand the draw to it. Because what it does, when you do drugs, what it does is it takes you into a counter reality that releases you from the cares of the world. Well, that's what study does for me. Spending time with the Holy Spirit in the Word actually takes me out of reality and takes me into the kingdom hope of what shall be or what could come. So I use it that way. It's a way that I strengthen myself and I have balance. Excuse me. But here's the answer to my grandkids, which won't watch this podcast most likely, is I'll have to speak to them about it. But the thing is, yes, Saba would prefer, the very most fun thing is to play with my grandkids. I get that. But if Saba doesn't put the word first, then you're not getting the full Saba. If you want the real, authentic, full Saba, you have to let him put that word and that study time first, and then you. Because if I put anything, my wife, my family, my ministry, anything above that, then nothing else falls into place. You know, alignment's like a train, and you have to put the engine of God in the front, and it pulls the rest of the train up the mountain.
So let's do this, Rabbi. I got a thought, and it's something that I've spoken with a ton of different Christians over the years about, and, you know, current with a couple of men that kind of do life with, especially spiritually. This is kind of a topic, and, you know, you made a really good point about essentially being addicted to, you know, being in the Word, right? And like, that's essentially, I mean, like you got to start there. You've got to get into the Word. But I think most people watching, listening at one point or another, but I think probably more people overall, Rabbi, have experienced that they love the idea of being addicted to being in the Word, right? So the idea in their head is, you know, I don't dislike being in the Word, but to create that habit and pattern to where I have the desire to do it, but to actually put discipline to it, right? And then learn over time to actually develop like that deep desire that regardless of like what you're doing in your life, day to day, that like it's just a natural part, obviously putting the kingdom first. But I think most Christians struggle. Yeah, they love that. They want that, but they're struggling to actually make that a reality. So do you have any points? Do you have any suggestions, right? Because obviously, I think we all want to be on Rabbi level of, hey, like I am this in it, right? That like, I have to have it, but you know, for some reason, maybe it's our lack of ability to comprehend. Maybe we read slow, right? Like I know with me, I read really slow. I don't know if it's a guy thing in general. I don't know if it's an IQ thing, but like I have to read paragraphs over and over to really comprehend it, right? And so any pointers that you have to people watching, people listening, obviously if you're watching this over on YouTube or Facebook, drop a comment. Let us know if this is something that you're actually struggling with. But Rabbi, can you guide us down to actually grow in this way to grow closer to God?
the initial starting to becoming addicted to the Word of God is you're going to have to prime the pump without the addiction. You're just going to you're going to have to kind of like force it, and then make yourself do it. Have some self discipline, but this is what will happen. You're going to study the word. You're going to start speaking the word. You're going to start praying and decreeing the word. And then what brings the addiction to the word is results. Once you realize you spending time with the word, praying and decreeing the word, makes your life better, then you get addicted. So you got to get to the result stage. And so that takes some priming of the pump, meaning that there will be a season, probably 30 to 90 days, where you're having to just force yourself to do it. And then, like for me in my life, people around me know, don't call Rabbi before 10 o'clock. It's not that I don't get up early. It's just that I have to spend X amount of hours in the Word and with the Lord to maintain Rabbi. So I understand, I know what it takes to do what I'm, even like what I'm doing right now. This is pretty unprepared, spontaneous podcast. I think the authenticity of it creates the attraction to it. But it would be difficult for somebody to do it if they weren't, I'm operating with you answering your questions out of the overflow of 30-something years, but also being with the Lord, you know, early this morning and, you know, praying and being filled. So it's like anything else. If you're going to take your car to the grocery store and it's close to your house, you don't need much. But if you're going on a cross-country trip, you might want to fill the tank.
So I'm going to throw this out there. And when it comes to the Hebrew calendar and Jewish roots, biblically speaking, right, and making changes, adding knowledge, wisdom to your faith, and just kind of, you know, what you naturally do, I think a lot of people can relate, Rabbi, to it almost feels like when you first, like, and I've gotten this from a lot of people I've met at feasts and different events traveling with you, that like they felt like they started over a little bit, right? Like, hey, like I just got saved and just got baptized because like there's so much more. And especially in this Hebrew month, you know, so where can people kind of go, right? That as we dive into these months and we dive into these teachings, Ryan, I think it's pretty clear. I mean, we talk about habits and patterns, even if we don't mention it, it's in every single episode, right? Because it's so important to develop those, because you have to have them in order to grow closer to God, to be intentional about what you're actually doing in your faith, in your family, in your life. But how often have you seen or experienced, you know, something, at least from this point of view, that when they find this type of teaching and can understand the Father's heart deeper, right, to these Hebrew months, what was the transition period like, right? How did they start versus were, you know, in a couple years, maybe 6 months, a year, right, into gaining wisdom and knowledge, but actually putting those into practice?
Let me use an allegory to answer your question. Sometimes I feel like a farmer's almanac salesperson. You know, back in the day, farmer's almanac, you would have to order it and they would mail it to your house and it would be in print. Now, of course, it's online. And the farmer's almanac, what it does is it says, this is what we're projecting based off the weather patterns, you know, for the next season of time. And the reason the farmer's almanac is so important is because you have seed, you know, you need to know when to plant it, when to harvest it, but you need an outside source to kind of say, how can I align all my efforts in my farming, my seeds, my fertilizer, my irrigation, if I have it, and harvest. Like, you don't want to be on vacation when it's harvest time. You want to know that it's harvest time. I need to carve out that 7 to 10 day window, and I need to get friends to come. And, you know, in harvesting, you know, being in partnership with Pastor Tim, who's a farmer, harvest time, that's it. That's why you did it. And it usually lasts about 7 to 10 days. And it's grueling from, you know, dark in the morning to dark at night. And it's all hands on deck. And everybody knows what they're called to do. Even with Pastor Sandy, she knows she's bringing food out to all the workers. And they're eating sandwiches in the truck. I mean, every hour counts. You can't stop because it's harvest. Not only is the wheat or the corn ready, but depending on when you harvest it, it's critical to the quality of the yield of the return, thus the quality of the actual net income from the farm. Well, I feel like with us as a ministry bringing you the Hebrew calendar and the Jewish roots of the faith, you've been farming without that magazine. And a lot of times when it's planting time, you may be out on vacation. You may not even be thinking about it. Or it could be harvest time and you're off doing something else. Understanding this teaching, what it does is it gives you a mindset of being in season with God's seed time and harvest. That's why even in our YouTube channel, we have a level of subscription called the Issachar. And the Issachar is knowing the times and seasons. Jesus was very critical of the people who should have known, saying, I have this against you. You do not know the time or the season. So I really feel like the teaching we do is the farmer's almanac in the spirit, saying, this is when you stand still. This is when you sow. This is when you pray. This is when you reap. And all of those things, and in that cycle, is in the Hebrew calendar, in the Feast of the Lord. And that's why it's so important to, like for us as a business and a family, and all of you that work for us, everything, we're getting ready to have an executive planning meeting. All of it is, every inch of it, every second of it is undergirded with the Hebrew calendar. So we're not just teaching this. We absolutely live this stuff. I personally, I've been doing it so long that it's in my subconscious mind. So I understand, like, when during these feasts, what the creative nature of God. Here's the thing. Jesus fulfilled Passover. He fulfilled first fruits. He fulfilled Shavuot. And he is now waiting to do Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Tabernacles. There will be a trumpet blast. He will return. He'll bring atonement, and we will tabernacle with him forever. So if you understand that God, without a doubt, with crossing every dotting every I, he does not do anything, since we know from creation biblically, without following his calendar. So how important is it to get in sync and alignment with the creator of the universe?
Okay, Rabbi, as we wrap up this episode of this Hebrew month, where do people go? I mean, obviously Hanukkah, Christmas is right around the corner. People's minds are, obviously, going towards generosity, you know, normally towards in the year, get close to January, start a new year on the Gregorian calendar. But from a Hebrew calendar perspective, right, for last thoughts, redirectment to get in on a really solid footing right now as we transition closer to Hanukkah, what's your final thoughts in this episode?
You are kings and priests, but this is a month to embrace your priesthood. This is a month to embrace the spiritual nature of your call. And there's plenty of teaching that they can go online and go to our One New Man app and invest in yourself this month. Study the messages that I've preached on, that you are kings and priests according to the order of Melchizedek. This is a month of restoration. The temple was defiled, and it took a small group of Maccabeans, and they restored the temple. Be intentionally expecting restoration in your temple. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Seek first the kingdom, but expect restoration. The other thing, this is a month of security. This is a month where God wants to supernaturally provide oil for your lamp, so that this is a month of security and trust. God wants to release a fresh anointing of trusting him. And when trust comes and you've received a visitation of trust, then hope comes. It's Jeremiah 29:11. I have a future. I have a plans for you. I have a hope for you. This is a month of great hope. So in a practical sense, I would give three action steps to deal with the pain point of lack of trust. Number one, encouraging people to seek spiritual renewal and do it in the presence of God. This, anytime you have a month where they restore the temple, then you have to understand that you're restoring the presence of God. It's not just head knowledge. Some things have to be caught, not taught. Yes, as you teach yourself, you can learn things, but it's in the presence where it's caught and there's impartation. Number two, trusting in his timing. Make sure that you walk in repentance with yourself, the Lord, and others for delays. This is a month where you're coming up naturally, you're raised in, and we work in the Gregorian calendar. You're coming up to the end of the year, and there's things that you haven't accomplished, goals you haven't met. It really doesn't matter. Forgive yourself and say, Lord, I ask if you really want me to finish these things, let me carry over into the new year. But don't do it with shame and guilt that you failed. Number three, being a light of hope to those in need. This is a month where you need to be encouraging people and loving people. Just do some kindness. Simple kindness. Go buy somebody a cup of coffee. If you work in an office like where Daryl's working, you know what? If you go out and you're going to get lunch, maybe there's some cupcakes or desserts or something that are there. So instead of just getting one for yourself, buy one for everybody in the office and come back and say, you know, I just wanted to bless you. I know that sounds corny, but if you're a giver, then you'll be a receiver. I think if you're not a giver, it's hard to receive because you have the guilt of not giving. And so I would encourage you, let this month, it's a month of Christmas, this is a month to give gifts. So give to the people around you as generously as you can.
Well, guys, that is, that's going to bring us to the end of another episode. And do yourself a favor, if you're watching, if you're listening, go back and rewatch the last 4 to 5 minutes to get those practical steps, the direction that Rabbi Kurt is trying to lead you down so you can actually get some real spiritual results, some real big changes in your lives today in this Hebrew month. For the rest of this year, transitioning throughout 2026, for you. But one thing we're going to ask you before we bounce out of this episode, we're just a few weeks away from episode 100. And oddly enough, but I think it's God's perfect timing, that episode's going to be Hanukkah 5786, the significance, the meaning for you. So do us a favor in the comments, do us a favor in the chat right now. If you're watching this on the replay, you're listening to it maybe a day or two later. later over on Spotify or Apple. Let us know what your favorite, most impactful episode of the Kurt Landry podcast leading up to episode 100 has been to you. We're going to take a poll of that and share it with you a little bit later towards the end of this year, because that's something that we love to do, is to just get feedback. What has been impactful for you out of all the topics, everything that we've talked about leading up to episode 100 of the Kurt Landry podcast. But super excited, super thankful that you join us for this episode on this Hebrew month. I can't wait to see you again next week. That's going to do it for us this week. We'll see you later.